You guys do realize that hard work is no longer the variable of success. Working hard as a micro gym owner does not cut it anymore. You all wake up early. You all spend time on your programming and developing your coaches. You all care about your clients. You're doing hard work. Just most of you are not doing smart work. Trust me, this is coming from somebody who grew a micro gym in 10 years to the point where I was able to retire at the end of that tenure. I was able to purchase commercial real estate, and now I can sit back and enjoy and create content for you guys. And what I see out in the workplace is that most of you are working so hard. You just don't know what the fuck you're doing. You're not working smart, which is why I created MGU, the only online business school for micro gym owners. When you get into MGU, the entire concept is this is not a system. This is not a, this is how you should run your gym. My goal is to educate you as if you had gone to college for the business of fitness. My goal is to show you all of the best strategies and tactics used by some of the top brands in the industry and give you the opportunity to deploy the ones that you believe would best fit your business model. Next time you're talking with a bunch of owners or you go to a business summit, I want you to be the guy or girl in the room that people are listening to. You're able to chime in and have high-level conversations with the top owners and the speakers or who's ever there because you truly do understand the business side of this whole thing. It goes beyond programming, it goes beyond community, and it sure as hell goes beyond coaching. Guys, get enrolled in Micro Gym University. The link is in my Instagram bio. It is $50 a month. Cancel any damn time you want. I don't care if you watch all the courses, binge them in a weekend, which would be damn near impossible. There's over, I think, 80 plus hours of courses, but you get the idea. You can consume it all and then never pay me another dime. I do not care. I just want more micro gym owners doing hard work done smart. Guys, link is in the Instagram bio. Go get enrolled.
What is up, guys? It is Stu, and this is another episode of the What the Fuck Gym Talk podcast. Today, we're talking programming, fitness, and what my version of how I'm living that out as a 36-year-old dad, entrepreneur, fitness-er guy, you know, person who likes fitnessing, is tempo training. Those of you guys, I made some content on this maybe about a couple weeks ago where I talked about what I do with tempo training. That was a group-based model we created exclusively for urban movement. And I've since created, with the help of the head coach who helped create and design tempo training, Deuce, we created a solo model. And I've kind of added and tweaked that. And that's what I do, you know, 10-plus times a week, okay? And with that being said, I wanted to go ahead and I'm just going to start making content and sharing that just because, I'm retired, right? I got a little more free time. I work out way more than I ever have in my entire career of owning a gym. I'm a coach at heart, and I've just dedicated my public content creating career to business. And I really enjoy talking fitness. I really, really do. So that's what this is gonna be. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about this today. This is just a thing that I do. But the core tenement of tempo training is that slow is strong. We used to say that all the time in urban movement during the group classes, and it the same thing applies to the solo version of tempo training, but slow is strong. When I watch functional fitness people perform resistance training, barbell, dumbbell, whatever, and it is done for time, again, they are going as fast as they can, I understand it, right? You are moving, you are creating, you're using your resistance training. It's at a light enough weight, it becomes metabolic conditioning, and it is cardio, right? That old saying, it was a really popular meme for CrossFit way back in the day. It's like, what do you do for strength? Oh, I lift weights. What do you do for cardio? I lift weights faster, right? I get it, and I'm all for it. I'm all for resistance training done to create a metabolic conditioning effect at a nice sub-maximal load with good tech and all that kind of stuff. And I say technique. So with that being said, slow is strong is something that I see just violated across the board. And I want you to think about yourself, maybe your clients, or you know, and maybe you've popped into a gym that does this. You watch somebody go ahead and you literally use gravity and the rebounding effect of a barbell movement to go faster. To the tune that they actually are not structurally strong enough to perform those reps if you take out the speed of the gravity play and the rebounding. Here's the example. The workout has 15 push press. We're all familiar with the push press. Get a little dip and drive, a little bend at the knees, drive with the hips, explode up, press the barbell overhead, okay? If you watch somebody do push presses where after they explode out of the hips, they lock the barbell overhead, and then they bring it back down to the collarbone, the front rack position, as fast as possible, and they time it up. As the barbell's intercepting the collar, they are bending at the knees to go back into the next dip and fire it back up. And this is where you see, like, anyone who's ever had, like, bruises on their collarbone. Like, and that was just something I had. There were girls that trained at CrossFit South End when I was a CrossFit affiliate back in the day. And again, they'd have these bruises. I'm like, Jesus, people either think you're into really rough sex or something bad is happening at home. Like, you're in a domestic abuse relationship. Because it's absolutely ridiculous for people to have these fucked up, bruised, swollen collarbones because they are trying to not control the weight back down to the front rack position because it will expend more energy. I can't go as fast, Stu. I can't become first on the leaderboard if I, you know, even add any kind of control on the way down. And it's such a crock of shit. It is. Here's a great example. So instead of doing that, obviously you know what I would do. I would want to see someone who can control it back down and not even adding an excessive tempo from the overhead position back to the front rack. But what I want to see is a complete pause at the front rack. I don't want to see it rebound from that position back up. What's the hardest rep of a press? The first rep. Now, if you were doing three strict presses, think about how you would do it. You would have that really tough first rep, and then as soon as you brought it down, even with no lower body involvement because it's a standing strict press, you would try to bounce it right back up, right? You would try to recoil that energy, the stretch shortening cycle. You would try to utilize the energy of the gravity coming down and explosively send it right back up. That is not strong, my friends. That is you showing off your lack of strength, and you have to utilize this gravity, you know, the short stretching cycle, you know, you have to hack your body to get that barbell back up. Because if you pause for 1/1000, 2/1000 and went to press again, you may not be able to do it. Maybe you are, maybe you don't know, maybe you've never tried. But that's the push press example. Let's take it to another one, power cleans. So I got to jump into, I work out around 10 plus times per week now in my free time. And I'll go like twice a day. I'll go do like tempo training in the early morning. And then I'll go back in the evening if I've got time and jump in with a group class at the gym I go to, a QC Fit here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was a cool little workout. It was power cleans, 10 power cleans, and then hit a 400 meter run and it was 5 rounds. So for that, you can't really add a ton of tempo to a power clean. That's tough, unless you wanted to like slow down the eccentric as you brought it back to the floor. You know, that wasn't a movement I was really interested in throwing a ton of tempo into. I looked at that workout, and this will be a great conditioning workout. It's a lightweight on the barbell, so I'm gonna be able to move this thing around, and that's how I attacked it. However, even in that, I had some great conversations with members after that class. A lot of people were doing singles, and maybe if you're, you know, go to a gym that does, you know, power cleans for time, you'll do singles, even if the weight's not that heavy, right? It's a lighter weight, but you feel that dropping the barbell from the front rack at the top of the power clean and letting it hit the floor is faster. It's not. It is 100% not. Trust me. I do not do, like, so for example, I don't do that. I always ride it back down to the floor and I hand release at the bottom. So I never touch and go. So I hand release the bar at the bottom. So there's a brief pause because the hardest rep of a deadlift is what, kids? The first rep of the deadlift. The deadlift being the first initial movement essentially of the power clean. So I hand release at the bottom. I kept my hands on it for all 10 reps. This is at a lighter weight, 135 pounds. And I flew through this compared to guys dropping the bar. And these are guys big. Some of these guys bigger than I am. And then at the end, we're having a conversation. Like, why didn't you drop the bar at the top? Like, well, A, it's not faster. Hence why my rep time, my rep cycle time was faster than yours. Number two, I like the carryover. And they're like, what do you mean the carryover? I'm like, all right, let me ask you this. Would you like your pull-ups to be better? Like, yeah, I would. I'm like, cool. Well, a lot of what happens in a pull-up is grip and scapular strength. Do you know what really comes into play if you were going to keep your hands on the barbell for all 10 power cleans at a weight that's light to moderate for you and with a hand release at the bottom? Grip and scap strength. Think about it. The barbell's in the front rack. Instead of just being a lazy fuck and dropping it, you commit to finishing the lift, putting the bar back where you got it, and you get it off the shoulder, you know, controlled, good grip, bring it to the hips, slide, you know, get it down to the floor, release the hands, and bring it right back up. Your scaps, everyone knows that position. When you take that barbell from the front rack and you drop it to the hips and kind of catch it there, you have to lock in those scaps or else it's going to pull you forward and put your back in a shitty position. So when you go unbroken with a set of 10 power cleans where you keep your hands on the bar the entire time and you do not touch and go, you develop some killer grip and scap strength. That's the truth of it. It will translate over to your pull-ups. I promise you it fucking will. It'll translate over to a lot of things, but especially pull-ups. So I was explaining to them the carryover here. And I finished it up with my line. It's always like, guys, slow is strong. But slow doesn't mean, you can't move fast. Slow means purposeful. It means calculated. It means you own the weight every step of the way. The weight doesn't own you. And too often in these high-intensity barbell-based models like CrossFit, you see these kids just fucking flinging the barbell around, letting it literally own them. The barbell owns them, but they sacrifice that so they can, get fourth on the fucking sugar wad leaderboard or some stupid bullshit. This is one of the things where when I got into tempo training and I was developing this, I wanted to own every rep from start to finish, right? I wanted to structurally own every position, even the hard ones. One of my favorite things to do with like a push press or a strict press is like an elevator where I'll press the barbell up to right about the bridge of my nose, hold for 2 to 3 seconds, and then finish the lift, lock it out overhead, hold for 2 to 3 seconds, bring it back down nice and steady to the bridge of my nose, hold for 2 to 3 seconds, and bring it back down. I own that barbell every fucking step of the way, all right? I'm not throwing it up there with my hips and, not really engaging my shoulders and upper body as much and bringing it back down. I'm not spending, when you move fast in these push presses, nobody spends any time locked out overhead. And then they wonder why they have shoulder issues because they've never spent any fucking time developing overhead stability. So anyway, slow is strong is this core value of what I do with tempo training. And there's time to go fast. Like, and again, the other thing I'll say about this, a workout like that where it's running and 10, it is meant to be a faster Metcon type scenario. If you have to drop a barbell at the top, it better be heavy. If you're going to do singles, like you're doing some, CP battery testing work, if you're not familiar with the creatine phosphate battery testing, Google it. If you're doing some CP battery work, you might drop from the top each time because you're dealing with a sub-maximal load, but it's still a heavy load. For a workout like that, that is way more conditioning based than it is strength, if you have to drop it from the top, you're not strong enough for that weight. Fucking take it down to something that you can manhandle and move around. Think about like a kettlebell. Would you swing a kettlebell and drop it from overhead? No. If you had you couldn't control it back down. It's too fucking heavy. I think it the exact same way. And I know there's some of you guys who are gonna fucking dick bash me in a DM. They're like, yeah, but I fucking, I like doing it that way. And that's fine. You like doing it, just do it. Don't listen to me, right? It makes me go faster. It doesn't. I promise you. I promise you I can move faster than you dropping it every single time. Promise. It's a gym and I take pride in the fact that I can drop weights here compared to other gyms where I can't drop weights. Hey, good on you, man. If that's why you pay for the gym membership so you can, make more noise than you can in your garage because your neighbors would fucking call the HOA or, the global gym, then I guess, yeah, then do you. I'm not here to change anyone's fucking view on fitness. That Instagram account that I kicked off at Respect the Tempo is literally meant for me to document my workouts for my own purposes. I don't give a fuck if anyone follows it, looks at it, whatever. It's literally just my way of, you know, creating a blog essentially of my training now that, I have a lot more free time and I'm working out much more and I've been enjoying exercising, and moving and fitness this much in years. And it's just kind of this nice new place to be in. So anyway, those are my thoughts. I'll be sprinkling in some of this fitness, you know, programming type conversation here and there, guys. And, yeah, go check out, on Instagram. It's going to be Respect the Tempo. That's just where I'll be sharing like a diary of my thoughts about fitness and what I'm doing for my own workouts. So, anyway, guys, until I talk to you in the next podcast, have a great fucking day and move slower with your barbell. Fucking slow is strong. Just remember that.